Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message, A House Full of Glory. And yesterday, I shared the passage we were looking at in 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. Actually, it's that entire chapter, verses 1 through 14. But the express passage or verse that was that which we could meditate on and reflect on, because I believe God has that for us in the New Covenant. This was when Solomon's temple was being dedicated, and it says in verse 14, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And I believe that we, in the days ahead, as we continue to worship God and seek God, just as I won't take the time to look at those passages of Scripture, but there was such a one accord. They were praising God, thanking God. And when that occurs, we know He inhabits the praises of His people, but there was such a unity, not just in the priesthood, not just with the king and the Levites, but the entire congregation was there worshiping and praising God. What were some of the things that were evident as we looked at this passage of Scripture, and how can we relate it to what God has for us in the future? As I said, while this was certainly under the Old Covenant, there is a passage, just one passage I'll share with you, found in the 4th chapter of Acts. And it was after Peter and John had been whipped and rebuked for standing and preaching the gospel. They went back to their fellowship, and in verse 29 they said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Obviously, what occurred next was divine approval and commendation on their willingness to be bold for God and to appeal and to cry out that God would show His power by signs and wonders. Because in verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together by the power of God, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." They had already been filled on the day of Pentecost, but they were refilled, if you will. And listen to this, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." And while we're not under that kind of economic system at this point, spiritually, the same should be true for us. Whatever we have, we are simply stewards of the material blessings, the physical blessings that God has blessed us with, but that what we have belongs to God, and we should be ready to share with those in need as the Lord would speak to our heart. Praise God. So, what do we see? They had a reverent attitude, Solomon and those that gathered. There was a new spirit of dedication, which I believe is absolutely essential for us to experience the things that they did. You know, those things which had been previously set aside for godly use, the instruments of gold, silver, etc., that David had compiled, they were put in their rightful place in the house of God. And they had a new sense of direction. The elders, the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers, all the men of Israel assembled, not to mention the Levites and the priests. And so they realized that this was a prophetic fulfillment of the word that was given to David, that there would be a temple, a house built for the Lord that would be glorious, then that would be a place, a meeting place for God and for his people. And so we also conclude that with every step of progress, beloved, it took a while, took a lot of work to get that together, with every advancement, even in our own lives, with every new benefit and every new privilege God gives to each one of us, it demands a new recognition and acceptance of responsibility. They had a reverent attitude. They walked in the fear of the Lord. And then there was a right approach. They sacrificed. And the purpose of it was solely for and unto God. Our bodies should be a living sacrifice. Whatever we do, say, whatever the what we show to the world ought to be a reflection of what God has done in our lives. Doing what is right is merely fulfilling our duty as Christians. What does sacrifice mean? You know, we could say we're unprofitable servants. We've done what God has asked. But sacrifice means going far beyond what is expected or required. Listen to verse 6. Also, King Solomon, all the congregation sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. They were excessive. They were willing to joyfully sacrifice to God. And that sacrifice will be unlimited. Have you ever been so tired? All you want to do is sit and be quiet, and there's some need arise, and it's like that's the last thing you really want to do. But what do? You get up and meet that need. It could be a need of a loved one, could be a phone call, it could be something you remembered to do and hadn't done. That is mature Christian responsibility. You will fulfill your word. And then, of course, there was a gracious spirit. God's grace was upon them all. Why? Because there was a spirit of unity. Remember, those of you who listen regularly, I've preached on Psalm 133, that precious ointment on the head that went down to the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. That was the, you know, the good and the pleasant state of those who dwell together in unity. After the priests and the singers were sanctified and arrayed in white linen, they took their places in the temple. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, then, oh beloved, then the house was filled with the cloud of God's presence. So in verse 14, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. This would not only be, I beloved, I believe it's a prophetic statement of what God wants to do. The glory of the latter house is going to exceed that of the former. I don't know. That first one sounded pretty glorious to me, but God promised through Haggai, other places, that God was going to reveal his glory, and that there would be signs and wonders, and God would show his power. This will bring the unsaved to him. Hallelujah. There's a statement, what it's like healing is like a dinner bell that brings the people. Someone gets healed. If it's an atheist gets healed by the power of God, I think he would be somewhat open to hear the person that enabled that healing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And also, there was not only a spirit of unity, there was definitely a spirit of an unction or anointing. It says, the people praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 13. So when God's people, listen to this, beloved, when we are overwhelmed with a sense of God's goodness, his loving kindness, and continue to render thanks to God for his great mercy, then we are assured of his presence and his blessing upon us without measure. Regardless of what is happening in the world, beloved, when it comes to the things of the house of God, to the things that pertain to the Spirit of God, that we can't be touched by the world. We're in it. In our natural lives and bodies, we go through the things that pertain to this world, but our spirit man cannot be touched. As it says in Micah, the second chapter, verse 7, that scripture declares, do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly. Praise God. And then a powerful passage, which I've always loved in Joel, it talks about in the second chapter, verses 23 through 32, Let me find that. It says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice." And this is, I believe this is prophetic. "Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." This talks about spiritual abundance, beloved, verse 24, as well as natural blessing. "And the floors shall be full of wheat." Hallelujah. That speaks of a great harvest there of souls to me. "And the vat shall overflow with wine and oil." Wine, the joy of the Lord, oil, the healing oil of the Holy Spirit. And this is a personal passage that was given many times in my life. And it's precious to me, and I believe God is going to do that for his people. "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed." And this thought is repeated, verse 27, "And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." And what follows that familiar passage, "And I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons, your daughters will prophesy." And verse 32, "It shall come to pass that whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." God's always had a remnant, and I believe, beloved, that the remnant, he who has ears to hear, are hearing the trumpet call, are hearing the clarion sound of the Spirit of God, who's saying to us, "Come and receive of the Lord, that we may walk in his glory and experience his goodness, that we might share with the souls of men the goodness of the Lord and his loving kindness and his mercy." Praise God. Well, it has been a joy to share, and we'll see what the Lord has for us on the next broadcast. I invite you to listen. We're heard on this broadcast on this station at this same time every day, Monday through Friday. Also, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast. They are archived there for your convenience to listen at any time. I love you. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.